If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello, gamer friends, and happy Halloween. May your buckets of candy be full this evening. Thank you so much for listening to the Multiplayer Gaming Podcast. If you are joining us for the first time, we are three dads who are lifelong gamers, and today we will be deep diving the horror game Devour. Please make sure to rate our show 5 stars and leave a written review if your podcast app allows. Also, come check out our Patreon page. You can help fund the show while unlocking 2 bonus episodes every month. Just visit multiplayersquad.com to see support options. Okay, let's introduce our cast with references to the game. I am your cult leader, Paul. Joining me, he can be seen puking up spider eggs outside roommate in the inn before crawling through the tunnels in the walls. It's Josh. That surprisingly sounds accurate to the game. You had no idea I was going to introduce you that way.
I didn't, but I really practiced that sound all day today, just in case, Paul.
I believe it. That was spot on. Well done, Josh. Thanks. And joining me and Josh here, he can be found roaming the halls of the asylum where he was committed, protecting the rats found in the trash cans and shattering all the windows in his rage. It's Michael.
What was the rat guy's name from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? There was a guy that always had rats following him around.
Michael Shredder.
No, it wasn't. It was Splinters. A guy with a bunch of bandages and stuff. No, Splinter. Splinter was the rat. There was a guy that like used rats as weapons. Maybe I'm
also,
going a little bit too deep.
Also, I apologize for calling him Shredder at first. You threw me off, Michael. No disrespect to Splinter at all.
You throw up eggs, so I'm not expecting you to get... You're not all right in the head. I'm not expecting you to get all of this right today.
Man, for being such a big Ninja Turtles fan, I have no idea who you're talking about, Michael.
I'm gonna have to look either.
Yeah, we're gonna need to Google this while we keep going on with the show. Rats as weapons. All right, it's not Casey. Casey had the hockey
stick.
Nope.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, I had an action figure.
It's not Rocksteady or Bebop. So
nope, it was a really obscure guy. I'm gonna look this up. So
yeah, it's not Krang. All right. Well, you know, before we jump into our deep dive here of Devour, we do have a little bit of housekeeping. We have 2 new Patreon supporters to thank. We have 2 Words Katana, who signed up with rare status.
I love their name, by the way. That is the best troll against Michael ever.
I love that they just created that Patreon account just to troll Michael for what he said in that one episode.
I did not even catch that, and that is brilliant. That is great. That is like the comic trolling of the week. We should start a thing that's just the trolling of the week, and that's you win the trolling of the week, and it's on me, and it's hilarious. Two words.
And as far as I know, they are from Norway, given the type of currency that they paid. So I love the idea that there's someone sitting on the other end of the world who is creating a Patreon account just to troll Michael. It couldn't be more beautiful. I really love it. And so they signed up with rare status. And then we also have I Camp and Kill You, who signed up with epic status.
Woo!
And we've gotten to know him a little bit in our Discord. He's been a longtime listener. He works at a golf course. And so we're so happy to have both of them sign up here on Patreon.
Heck yeah. It's awesome. Super exciting.
People that support the show mean the world to us and to the basic listeners, because we always said this show would not exist without the support of the listeners. So if you are listening, thank you, I Camp and Kill You, and 2 Words, katana.
Oh, you stop it.
It's one word, three syllables. There is no two in katana at all. So I think it's perfect.
I remember my thought process at the time, and I think I had another word in front of that or something, and it just didn't come out of my mouth. But what is about to come out of my mouth, just because everyone's curious, the Rat King did exist. His name is the Rat King. I was like, it's the Rat King guy. And he was defeated by Leonardo. His actual name is Dr. Victor Falco. And he's a very short part of the show. I think maybe only exists in the cartoon. But there you go. He's called the Rat King. And he would like, they knew he was around because there'd be rats everywhere. That's it. A little bit the more you know.
There you go. All right. And Josh, you've got a couple of reviews people have left the show.
We have, the reviews have been pouring in. So again, thank you to everybody that is leaving a review, is listening to the show. But as we do, we always pull out a couple of these to just read, and we're going to get started. This first one comes in from the Reaper God, and it's titled The Best. And it says, I'm a senior in high school, and this podcast is one of the only things I listen to when I'm doing my work. This is the only gaming podcast that I generally like. The hosts are funny and the hosts are always funny and give the best opinions on the games they review. I have been listening to them since the Rocket League episode. 10 out of 10, recommend to anybody that's into gaming.
That's awesome.
Ooh, thank you, the Reaper now, God.
That's a long time.
A big Overwatch fan.
Well, and our Rocket League episode was an early one, too, so a long-time listener there. So
back
thank
when
you.
We really sucked. I mean, we've come a long way.
Dude, the fact that people listen to the early episodes and stick around is really, that's telling, man. So
I don't know. No, all of my early episodes are gold, so I don't know what you guys talked about. It has nothing to do with the fact the format was already set, right? And it was already had a flow, and Paul gives us these outlines that I just follow that sometimes say, talk a little bit less. This is for you, Butler. No, really, I mean it. Subsection paragraph 1-2. Talk still seriously a little bit less. Oh, shoot, I did it again.
Oh, all right. Goodness.
And then this next one comes in from the Red Sea, and it's titled, Finally, the gaming podcast I've been looking for.
Yes.
And it says, as a lover of games and podcasts alike, it was only natural of me to want to find a video game podcast. I tried out so many and even got into one or two, but they all failed to hook me. Then I found this show. I listened to the deep dive episode about Cyberpunk. That night, I did two things. I re-downloaded Cyberpunk and I downloaded a bunch of episodes of this show and binged them over the next 3 or 4 days. The different perspectives and tastes, the humor, the chemistry, the family-friendly style, it all comes together to create one of the absolute best podcasts on the internet. You should definitely check this one out if you're a gamer or just a fan of great podcasts. You won't regret it. P.S. Waffles are better than pancakes. Signed, the Red Sea.
No, they're not.
Thank you, the Red Sea. Welcome to Team Sanity. Our arms are wide open. Come join. You'll be embraced, and we welcome you here. What a great couple of reviews, Josh. I love when you share these.
Yeah. Well, again, if you haven't left the review for the show yet and you've been a listener, it is one of the best ways to do your part to help the show out is to just take a few seconds, leave us a review. If you're listening on Spotify, you can just rate us 5 stars there and tell a friend. That's honestly the best ways to help out.
How is the Red Sea spelled, by the way? Is it red?
It's
letter
the
C?
Red. It's the red and then letter C.
Okay, so Arizona Cardinals fan. That's what I'm just going to put it in that camp. Thank you, Red Sea.
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was like the Red Sea, like, you know, parted by Moses, but yeah, you know, who knows?
The continental divide between like Africa and Asia.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we are all done with our housekeeping. I think we're ready to start the ritual, guys. Ooh. Let's deep dive, devour. Okay, before we start this deep dive, I do want to give a very brief content warning. You know, our show is always family friendly, and the gameplay of Devour does involve some like darker content than what we normally cover. There are things like demon summonings gone wrong. The game does dabble in some light to moderate animal sacrifice territory. We know a lot of parents listen to the show while they have their kids around, so this one may or may not be something that you want them to hear. Just kind of wanted to give that here in the very beginning. But in any case, we always like to start out here by reading a description of the game on Steam. Devour is a co-op horror survival game for 1 to 4 players. Stop possessed cultists before they drag you to hell. Run, scream, hide. Just don't get caught. All right, so Michael, can you tell the people why it is that we're deep diving Devour today?
I sure can. So we have a little thing here that if you support our show on Patreon and you go with the legendary level, you get to pick whatever game you want for us to play. And this is exactly what happened here. We have a very, very special Patreon member who's also a very active member in our Discord, which, by the way, join that for free whenever you want. It's awesome. Very talkative people. Named Dr. Catatonic, who is incredible. And he went legendary a few months back and asked us to hold off on this episode until Halloween because he wanted a spooky type game. And he gave us like a list of like four or five games to choose from. And Devour is where we landed, and that's what we did, and we never looked back, because if we looked back, there was a vomiting egg spider chasing us anyway, so we couldn't.
Yeah, Dr. Cat gave us a list of like four games, and Devour, I just thought sounded the coolest, and so I copied and pasted the list to you guys, said, I'm thinking maybe we just covered Devour, and you guys were like, all right, let's just go with that. So we knew nothing about this game going into it. And it fits perfectly, releasing right on Halloween. If you like games that give you jump scares, games that have a very creepy atmosphere, the ones that get your heart rushing while you're, you know, running around lost in these ridiculously built buildings, I think this game might be right up your alley. So, Josh, let's talk a little bit about the very first time that we played this game, because you and I were able to hop on. Michael was busy the first evening. You and I intentionally did not read anything. We knew nothing about the gameplay. We did not read any instructions. We just launched the game, started on the farmhouse with just the two of us on normal difficulty. You want to walk us through exactly what happened that first night?
Oh, man, a bunch of nonsense happened. to be fair, I saw about 20 seconds worth of gameplay footage on this game before we actually hopped in. And that was only because as we were purchasing it from Steam, it plays gameplay. Mm-hmm. You know, and so that is all I saw. Like, we did zero research ahead of time on this, other than we knew it was a co-op horror multiplayer game. And I think that's probably why we landed on Devour over some of the others. But you and I hopped in and we knew absolutely nothing. So this was actually kind of fun in the sense that it was like, I don't know what we're getting into. Like, what kind of game is this? What are we supposed to do? And so we start walking around. We're finding hay on the ground. We're trying to get into this house. It's locked. We wander around to the backyard, and there is this cage filled with demonic baby goats.
Did you see that weird goat? He had devil eyes. I hope he's gone.
Oh, yeah, and
this is the first time where I went, I think I'm going to like this game. Goats had these scary, creepy, like red glowing eyes.
They got devil eyes.
Yeah. And I'm like, what the heck are we supposed to do with these goats, man? And you were like, I don't know, man. So we just kind of fumbled around. We were finding cans of gasoline and hay, and we eventually found a key. We set the goats. We opened up the cage for the goats. They go rampaging into the house and then scatter. We're like, oh, hey, we can get into the house now. We are looking around. We're trying to figure out what we're supposed to do. We're reading scary notes of lore and stuff like that. We go upstairs, and at the end of the hallway is creepy, creepy lady. And that's where you and I both kind of stopped, and we went, okay, all right, I get what this game's going to be. And then, of course, the lights go out, she disappears, and then my adrenaline starts pumping because I'm like, it's on now.
I think you dared me to walk near her because I was like, hey, Josh, look down the hallway. And you're like, yeah, why don't you go check it out? And we these matches in Devour, you play just like a single match at a time, and they're supposed to take, I think, about 40 minutes each.
Yeah.
I think we played that first match for about 2 hours, Josh, because we did not know what to do. We didn't know what to do with the hay. We didn't know what to do with the gas. We didn't know what these goats were doing. We could hear them make noise, and then I feel like we just kept wandering around this house for the first hour until we finally figured out what to do.
I need to do that more often, to be honest, because the thrill of discovery is actually kind of nice. You know what I mean? In that regard. So sometimes not knowing exactly what you're doing and kind of figuring that out. Now, if you're doing it solo, maybe it wasn't as fun, but the fact that you and I were playing it together and going like, okay, Paul, like I found this, there's a health pack. I'm sure we're going to need that for something. The first time that you died was pretty hilarious, you know, as far as that goes. And so I think I need to like jump into games blind a little bit more often sometimes, because it was actually enjoyable to try to figure out what we were supposed to do.
The first time that Paul died, was that during the dare or no?
No, it was later.
So she didn't get you. Okay.
No, not right away. So, yeah, just to explain a little bit of this gameplay loop, basically what has happened is you start off the mission, and within the game of Devour, there's like this cult, and they are trying to bring the demon Azazel, and they're trying to summon him into the world. And with each of these levels, someone has tried to summon him, but the ritual has gone wrong. And so they are now possessed, and all the other cultists are showing up, and they're trying to now destroy these totems. That way they can stop the summoning ritual, I guess, and then like exorcise the demon. And so in the very first one, being the farmhouse, Josh and I finally realized what we were supposed to do. Once you unleash these demonic goats that start running around this house, we finally realized, okay, if I grab hay and then throw it on the ground near one of the goats will slowly start eating the hay, and then I can pick up the goat, and then there is a section of the map out back where you can put the goat into like a, I guess like a big dish or like some kind of like big
bowl. Giant sacrificial bowl.
Yeah,
and then you pour in the gasoline and light the goat on fire, and
it's very sad too because it dies.
It is sad, you know, the goat dies, but clearly this is not your average goat.
It's a devil goat.
He had devil eyes.
In the farmhouse, Anna is the one who was trying to summon Azazel and is the creepy lady, and she doesn't like it when you start sacrificing these goats.
Now, maybe I'm confused, I might have it wrong, but aren't we trying to complete the ritual, and she is trying to stop us from completing it?
I think we're trying to exorcise the demon by getting rid of the summoning totems.
Is that what
totems.
We're doing? Okay, why are we cultists then? Are we cultists that have turned a leaf and then gone like, hey, we don't want to summon Azazel?
Oh, that's a good point. No, we are cultists. We got those crazy robes and everything.
I think we're completing the ritual and the people that were there have messed up and then went, I need to stop you from doing that.
Regardless, Paul just wowed me with explaining this game because here's what I would have said. With the Paul part, just now explaining the game. Scary stuff happens. You got to try and stop stuff like burning demon goats and just run away. There you go. I just gave you the synopsis of every part of this game. Run away, scary stuff, goats, demon goats.
That's definitely the case. So when you play this game, everything's out to kill you. You are running away from the main boss. And then also at the same time, you will see little pentagrams form on the walls or on the floor. And then these demons will start crawling out. And the only thing that you have in this game that you start out with is a flashlight. And so in that regard, you might compare it to something like Phasmophobia, being another scary game where all you have is like this flashlight. And if you right click your mouse button, then you shoot UV rays, which apparently kill demons. I didn't know this. This is handy information to know.
Yes. Duh, Paul.
Shoot some of that UV into these demons' faces, and they will kind of like disintegrate into ashes. And over the course of the game, you have to destroy the 10 totems. And the more totems you destroy, the faster and the more angry the boss gets, to where by the end of the game, if you do not very quickly beat it, the boss is going to be running around constantly downing everybody in this game. Do you guys want to talk a little bit about like how that works when you get downed and how you can get rescued?
Fun tidbit. Demons hate raves, by the way, because of the black lights.
Yeah. Also, I watched
safest place to go in a demon invasion.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah. And I've watched like all 37 seasons of Supernatural. I never saw the Winchester boys like stopping demons with the ultraviolet lights. So I don't know where this game came from with this idea.
So the boss is, I mean, that's kind of the main thing with the stages in this game, is that there is always a boss monster that is roaming the stage. And these stages are not very big. You know, I mean, they're you kind of know where the monster is almost at all times.
Josh, if you're Paul, they're very big.
That's very true. Yeah, because they get Paul all the time.
I am
completely
a magnet.
Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul is also lost.
Paul has clear. Oh, and Paul, we learned this is the best thing. Paul has no sense of direction in a video game.
No. Nope.
Like, none at all. We're in a. We'll explain the maps here in a little bit, but we're in a map that has one end and another end, and that's it. And every single time, Paul would come out of a building and go, I don't know where I am, guys. I don't know where I am. And I'm like, Paul, you're right down there.
Here's the thing. If they just had a little compass or an arrow pointing north, I would have zero problem navigating this game. The problem is when you are in a map And I swear you guys are playing on higher brightness than I am. I swear. I cannot see more than 4 inches in front of my guy at any time in this game. And when I exit a building and all I see is a black screen, and I'm like, okay, well, I know that to get to the church in the town, I got to go all the way to the end and turn left. But I don't know if it's the end this way or the end that way. And I always just have to do a 50-50 guess, run in one direction. If it's the right one, great. If it's wrong, I got to turn around and go the other way. You have to admit, these maps are intentionally built, other than maybe the town. The others are built to be as confusing as possible. This farmhouse, this is not an open floor plan layout where you can see. These are very long, twisting hallways and corridors. It is a three-story farmhouse. It is very easy to get turned around and not know exactly where you're at.
I didn't have too much of a problem. Did you, Michael? Did you have any hard times getting around these maps?
Really, I didn't at all. I mean, the first time that I found a direction, I was like, only the very first time I played, I couldn't find the stairs that went down to the sacrificial room. And then I got it. It was pretty easy. But the first time that I had noticed Paul had no sense of direction was in the town, which literally is an Old West town with one road, 5 or 6 buildings on each side. It's like, do you look left or right? There's a well on that side, so I know that's north, at least north in my mind. I'm going to go south, because south is the other way.
I want you guys to send me a screenshot of what your game looks like, because I'm telling you, it's got to be brighter than mine, because I could not see anything in this game.
I want default on the brightness, but it's crazy. There's a settings in there, isn't there, where you can change that, or no? Is there not?
I don't know.
No idea.
I mean, every game has got a brightness setting. I'm sure it's in there.
So trolling Paul aside, the bosses are really the kind of main scary thing for the level. This is where the tension and the horror element comes into play. So as you go through these levels and you are doing whatever the mission is, and the missions do change, although the gameplay loop kind of stays the same, the bosses start off very timid. In fact, they're non-aggro in the very beginning of the game. As you start to gather these ritual components and you start to sacrifice or complete the ritual, or I'm still a little confused whether we're completing a ritual or trying to interrupt the ritual here. But as you progress, you start to anger the boss. And as you anger the boss will start to rampage around the level. And boy, do you know when that boss is rampaging. Like, the game does a very good job of saying, like, uh-oh, we just did something that really ticked this thing off. Now it's rampaging around. Everybody run. Try to hide, just get away, you know, that kind of thing. So that's where a lot of the horror elements come from. And let me tell you, if the boss catches you, I screamed every single time. Paul, who doesn't normally get into these types of games, I even heard Paul kind of jump once or twice with when he got caught by the boss as well. So that's a lot of the tension, the horror, the scary part of this game.
The thing for me is I don't get sucked into games if it's just a spooky atmosphere. That doesn't scare me. That's not going to do anything for me. I always think it's kind of silly, which is why I would always just kind of run around talking to the ghosts in Phasmophobia. What gets me is very loud noises out of nowhere, especially when I'm wearing headphones. So when the boss catches you in this game, it's like, your flashlight will start to blink when you're kind of near the boss, and you can hear the boss, you know, you hear them moving around, or you hear their boots hitting the ground with the spurs or whatever it might be, whichever level you're on. And so you can tell when they're nearby. But then when they start rampaging, they start yelling. And then if you're within line of sight, you'll hear a heartbeat. And then they start chasing you, and you can turn and you can run. But sometimes the boss will start rampaging, or you might round a corner directly into the boss, and then they'll immediately kill you without any indication. So if you round a corner and the game immediately blasts into your headphones the jump scare — this game even calls them jump scares. Yeah, I yelled a lot the first night, Josh, because once I kind of got used to it, then I was kind of ready. It was almost like I had to calibrate for it. But yeah, be careful. Don't have your volume on too high and devour, or you're going to blow your ears out.
Yeah, yeah. It legit, the first jump scare got a swear word out of me. At the end of the map, I'm like, I'm sorry.
I did actually hear Michael. Michael did actually swear. It's one of the few times I've ever heard him actually swear. But and then he apologized profusely after that. He was like, I'm really sorry, guys. It just scared me really bad.
I was not expecting that. That being said, that word should not even be a swear word. It's like the entry-level swear word. But still, it was funny. It was like, and then just like, I'm really sorry, guys. But yeah, you know, it's scary. It's like, and it gets you, like, it jumps on your screen and it shows the evil looking whatever it is. Like, cause you're just going along and it's like any jump scare you see on like YouTube when someone's like, hey, press this button, watch this girl make a soup. And then all of a sudden, like, this banshee comes out of nowhere. It's exactly like that. Like any jump scare somebody sent you on YouTube and you clicked on it and weren't expecting that to happen. That's this whole entire game.
Yeah, that's. I feel like that's exactly how they went about creating this game, was just how do we take the random banshee screaming in YouTube videos and make a whole game out of it? It'll be 45-minute matches, and that's going to happen 20 times over the course of the game where it's going to grab someone. And whenever we played, I tended to draw the most attention from the bosses.
I was going to say 20 times total, 10 of that was Paul.
Yeah. No, there were a couple matches where I told you guys, I'm like, the stat sheet's going to look so bad at the end of this match. And sure enough, it would be like Paul downed 9 times, Michael downed 4 times, Josh downed twice. And that's like, I was always like 70% of the downs would somehow end up being me.
Yeah, the Banshee Queen wanted herself a little Paul time.
Yeah, apparently. All right. So, you know, it didn't take too long for us to figure out the format. Josh, I think the first night we might have just tried once, maybe. And I think the second night we beat the farmhouse pretty handily. I think that's actually when we jumped on with Dr. Catatonic.
Yeah.
We were able to play with him a couple times. But the one thing that was neat was just as you get closer to the end of the ritual completing, the boss is just 100 times faster and 100 times scarier than in the beginning. And since we didn't look up any strategy or anything on how to beat this, that was part of the fun. Like, we realized, okay, especially once you get to 7 or more of the goat demons killed, then that's when she really gets scary. So let's try to burn these goats in batches. And so we were trying to have all 3 of us in that case holding a goat, and let's sacrifice them back to back to back. And then, so we would try to get to 7 done out of the 10 and have 8, 9, and 10 in hand ready to go. Because especially once you get to 9, you really can't do anything in this game. People are going to get downed every 10 seconds. You're going to run out of health packs. There's not very much you can do at that point.
The strategy on this is very important, and that's why I could not imagine playing this game alone. But Paul mentioned, like, the boss, aka the boss, whatever, you know, like, we'll do air quotes on that, goes a lot faster and is doing that rampage. But also, there's like little side enemies the whole time, like trash mobs, I guess you could call them, that you have to kill with the UV lights. And they're like everywhere once you get to 7 or 8 of your objectives done. And so it's chaos at the end. So you do want to have a good strategy, and you definitely do want to probably be in voice with your friends. I could say that. Like, I could jump into a match with strangers if I wanted to. I don't know if I'd want to unless we were all in the same Discord, because it's definitely better if you communicate. I can say that.
Now, a couple features on this game. It does have in-game proximity chat that you can use, and people say that actually helps heighten it, because if you're not near somebody, you can't hear them. So if you know, you can be yelling and saying, help, help, but you can't, you know, so that does add a little bit of the kind of atmosphere to the game. But you get these ritual items, you're finding batteries for your flashlight, because your UV light is your only weapon in this game, and the battery drains very, very quickly and recharges very slowly. And so the trash mobs that are in every levels also start to increase in number as the level progresses. And so part of the difficulty isn't only the boss, it's managing your flashlight.
Oh, yeah.
At the same time. And so that creates a lot of difficulty and hardship as well. And then ultimately, you're avoiding the boss. People will get captured. You're able to go and resurrect them using a health pack. But it's almost like a race against the clock as you get closer to that 10 out of 10 objective. And it's hard, man. We failed many, many a time in this game.
Well, we're about halfway through the episode. I think that covers a good amount of the farmhouse. We're going to take a short break, and then we'll come back and break down the other maps and do the rest of our segments. So we'll be back after this short break.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, so we covered the farmhouse. You got to sacrifice your 10 goats, and then you can finish that map. The other map that was available at release along with the farmhouse was the Asylum. And the Asylum is basically the exact same gameplay loop, but it's a very different setting. And instead of killing goats, now you get to kill rats. PETA, I do not think, would endorse this game at all. It requires a lot of animal sacrifice, apparently. But what stands out to you guys when you think about the Asylum level?
The electrocuting of the rats.
Yeah, let's talk about frying rats. Yeah. How does that work in the Asylum?
Oh, so every boss has like its trigger point. Apparently in the farmhouse, she loves goats. In the Asylum, this lady like she was crazy, but she fell in love with the rats that lived in the Asylum. And so the way to anger her is you find these rats, you take them down to the basement where the lady was actually, I guess, undergoing like shock therapy or something.
Yeah.
And so you plop this rat on this electric table and you pull the breaker and you fry this rat to smithereens, basically.
They explode.
Yeah. And yep. Then the lady goes like, rah! Then she comes rampaging.
Yeah. It's kind She's of evil. Like,
are we actually electrocuting rats? Is that what we're doing, guys?
We already burned the devil goats, so let's just keep going with this, right? Let's take it one step further. Next level, we're burning, blowing up rats. I think the Asylum, the craziest part about the Asylum for me is it reminded me of a labyrinth. Because it's like, there's like five total levels, like as far as like stairs going up to like the first story. There's like, I think there's two basement levels there, isn't there? There's like a sub basement in one of the basements, and then there's like three levels.
There's like the hospital morgue type area that's downstairs, but then there's the downstairs, which is where the electric table rat sacrifice place is too. So
I think the coolest thing about the Asylum to me was, I think it was once we had destroyed seven rats. That was when she went in like full carry mode, like in the movie. And the Great Hall, which is like the main part of the Asylum, all the windows burst out and there's wind howling, right. And she's screaming and rampaging. And that was a really, really cool moment. I think out of all the maps and everything that I saw in the game, that was my singular favorite moment, was like the telekinetic shattering of all the windows. That was really neat.
Each map actually does something similar to kind of say, hey, you've gotten to the point where it's going to get real hard real fast. But that part was the neatest because it really just kind of made sense. And you felt like that anger from the boss happening. Like you said, all the wind starts blowing through the house, all the glass shatters. It was a neat moment for sure.
I just, while we're talking about this, I think about this level and I think, man, we are just bad people. We break into this house, we start causing mayhem, kicking over a bunch of trash cans, right? Then we start stealing these rats and blowing them up. Of course the owner's going to get upset at us and go full carry mode. Like, we are vandals. This is just mean.
We're also cultists who serve a demon. So yeah, we're definitely not the good guys in that regard.
You're right. Okay. We deserved our death. And we did die too. I don't think we beat that one. I think that's the one we didn't beat, right?
It's also the one we tried the fewest times. Yeah, it was the asylum.
That's because it was a labyrinth.
Yeah, it really was. I think that about covers everything for the asylum. The next map here is the town. And I think this is the first one that you played, right, Michael?
No, I played the asylum.
No, the asylum was
first. Oh, the asylum was first for Michael. I guess I just remember the town because I feel like we played it like 8 times in a row over the course of 2 nights. So the town is a little bit different. This one, the main big bad boss is a sheriff who walks around town. And the cool thing about the sheriff is you can hear the spurs. You hear every step as he goes through the town. And he also has a revolver. So whereas in the other maps, the only way that you can get downed is if they actually physically grab you, Sam, the sheriff, can actually shoot you with the revolver, which slows you down. And if you get shot too many times, then you get downed. But that's one of the neat things about the town level.
I think that about the town level, first of all, I'll say this is my favorite level, probably because I think this is a good starter level because it's the easiest as far as the map to understand. And I think the game developers did a really smart thing by adding the revolver because the map is not confusing in this one. You make one stroll down the street, make a mental note of what's on the right side, left side. It's the same stuff you'd find in any old West town. There's a bank, there's a pub, there's a place where you can buy weapons, there's a place where you can buy clothes, there's a church, there's a hospital, things like that, right? They're all there, very easy to make a mental note, and you're like, okay, this map's not that hard, actually. And then Sam, the sheriff, the undead, spooky sheriff with, like, these, like, leshen things coming out of the back. I totally got a Witcher vibe from that, by the way, with, the sticks coming out of the back. I think they're bones, but he looked kind of like a leshen from The Witcher. And he's just shooting his revolver at you, and I'm like, that's good, because the map was a little bit easy, but that made it really kind of hard. And so the other thing about Sam that I love the most is when he starts rampaging, he literally just starts boom, 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 boom from one building to the other across the street. And you're like, I got to get to that side. And I'm not going that way right now.
You can tell he weighs a lot. Like, they did a very good job of, like, making him feel, like, meaty almost. The gun aspect was really neat because I'm pretty sure the first time he ever shot somebody, it was Paul. And it was funny because none of the other monsters have weapons. They just catch you. And mm-hmm. So it's like, oh, man, look at that boss. And then, like, he kind of slowly turns and looks at Paul. And Paul's like, oh, yeah, he's not aggroing. And then we just hear, like, a gunshot.
Yeah.
And Paul's like, he shot me! And we're like, wait, wait, he's got a gun? And it's like, yep.
You shot me!
Okay, moving on.
You shot me right in the arm! Why did...
Now, have we talked about the fact that there you can stun the boss for a second?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
So, you know, we talk about how the bosses rampage around, and all is not lost, even though all is really going to be lost. But if the boss is rampaging, you can shine your flashlight, the UV flashlight, at the boss, and it will kind of slow it down for a minute. If you have a fully charged flashlight early on, it's enough to stun the boss, and then you can make a break for it. Now, the boss only stays stunned for, I don't know, 3 seconds maybe. And then you cannot stun them again, because what happens is they become, like, enraged after that, and then UV light does nothing to them at that point. So part of the strategy is stun the boss. If you have friends, the more flashlights that are on it, the faster it gets stunned. And then you just hightail it anywhere you can and hope that it eats one of your friends before the boss eats you.
And then the last of the 4 levels. So, Michael, your favorite was the town. My favorite is the last one, which is the inn. And this is the one that has the spider eggs that were mentioned earlier. I think most people think that this is the creepiest boss out of the bunch.
Yes.
Yeah, because it is.
The cultist that's now possessed has become like a spider boss. And so they crawl along the ground. There are holes in the walls where they will crawl in, and then they will teleport to another area of the map. And every once in a while, they will stand up in their full human form and vomit out these dirty eggs. And you have to take these eggs to a pool where you have to pour chlorine into the pool. And then you can douse the egg in the pool, which then cleanses it. And then your egg will have a symbol, and you have to find the right altar. You run to the altar with the matching symbol, and then you can offer the egg there. And you have to do that 10 times. And you can kind of tell that the farmhouse and the asylum are very simple and straightforward. The town and the inn are where the game starts to get a little bit more complex, which I actually really appreciated. When we were playing the inn, I was actually writing notes as we were playing. And so we would say like, okay, room 8 has the skull altar, and I would jot it down. The Ouroboros is in the downstairs end of the hallway, and we would jot that down. And then we were kind of keeping track, which I think also added to the strategy where we were dousing these eggs and then dropping them by the right altar. And then we would split up, try to do them all at once. And I thought that the inn was the most fun, at least in my opinion.
I'm with you, actually. The town was a neat map, and I liked the atmosphere of the town. But for me, the inn was the most strategic map. We never beat the inn, and we tried that one a lot. I feel like it is
really
the hardest.
We never beat it? We got to 9 so many times.
I don't remember.
Every time.
I think
we played it with the three of us like 5 times.
And we played it with Dr. Catatonic a couple times as well. Michael mentioned it. We were 9 out of 10 of the eggs, and I was burning the last egg and had a spider that was chewing on me. And tried to just get the egg burned before the spider killed me. And the spider killed me about a half second before the egg was done being burned. So we never beat that stage, despite trying many, many times. But I'm with you, Paul. It was my favorite. I liked the strategy aspect of it. I liked the boss. The spiders were kind of more scary than ghosts and the little demon things crawling across and stuff like that as well.
I would just like to say, there is nothing okay with this map. Yeah. Nothing at all. You've got a spider queen who pukes the eggs that you go pick up and you just wash them off with bleach. There's spiders everywhere. When you die, you've got to crawl out of a spider hole and find like this one that's not covered with spider web and find your way back to the realm of the living, but you're still dead. And not to mention, this one added an aspect that particularly pissed me off, which is towards the end, like once you have 5 or 6 eggs, they start blocking passageways with spider webs that you now have to use the UV rays on to get by. And 100% of the time, I hit them for like 3 seconds and I think they're gone because I see it burn. But no, part of it's still there and you have to back up and burn it again. Thank you, game devs. I hate you. There's nothing okay with this level.
Yeah, and I just love the fact that you can see the increasing difficulty. I don't know if they have plans to release more maps, but I would imagine they'll keep making them more complex. All right, well, there are a couple last things we need to cover before we jump into our community reviews and things of that nature. There are 8 playable characters in the game, a couple you have to unlock after you do certain achievements, and all the characters start out by wearing plain robes and have a black flashlight. The game does give you the ability to buy cosmetics, so you can change their clothing outfit or you can change the look of their flashlight. And I'll give all of our listeners a chance to guess which of the three of us actually spent money on cosmetics here. Because it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't Josh.
Loot box. There's a Baker outfit. I got to have it.
Are you ever going to play Devour again, Michael?
I don't. Maybe.
I doubt it.
Maybe. I really want to beat the spider level. Like, I really do. Like, I want to beat that level. I'll con you guys into it sometime.
Got the Baker's outfit waiting for you. And then also in this game, as far as progression goes, you do level up. So once you earn a certain amount of XP, you will level and it gives you a ritual token, and tokens can be spent on perks in the in-game store. Now you can unlock a whole bunch of perks, but you can only equip one at a time. All of them either cost 1, 3, or 5 tokens each. Were there any perks in particular that you guys thought were more interesting than the others?
Just one. Just one that was good, and it's a 50% fast to revive your friends when they're dead. That was it. And just real fast on the leveling that Paul just mentioned, you don't level in each map. You kind of level progressively. Like, if you beat 2 maps, you get to level 2, things like that. So it progresses. Your character is permanently that, you know, level as you play multiple maps. But yeah, I like the 50% revive, because when you've got 2 friends down, if it's just the 3 of us and I'm the only person running around with this med kit, like, it is very nice to just get you up quickly. That was the only one that I really found useful. It's also the only one I bought.
Yeah, the perks are expensive. You have to play a lot to unlock the perks. You can get 1 like coin perks, 3, that's where I feel like they start to get valuable. I never actually unlocked a 5 relic tier perk or whatever.
It's hard to save that one.
Yeah, it really is. And we didn't know that you could only have 1 perk at a time either. So right. I think that would have changed things. If we had known, I probably would have saved up for the five, the level 5-1 or whatever it was. But at level 3, we found, I think we died more often than not because our flashlight ran out of UV charge and we just got swarmed by the trash mobs or we couldn't stun the boss at that point. So, Paul, I know you and I both went with a perk that allowed your flashlight to recharge 50% faster, which was noticeable and definitely very helpful.
And there's a couple other perks that are kind of like helpful, but sort of boring. One of them is called Speedy, and it just gives you a 7% boost to your speed at all times. So, you know, they have some perks like that. Now, in terms of difficulty, I wanted to ask you guys, did you feel like the game was too easy, too hard, just right? What'd you think?
It's too hard.
You think it's too hard?
We are lifelong seasoned gamers, and we came up with some very sound strategy. I actually really enjoyed that part where we sat down and we said, okay, this is the farmhouse. Let's stockpile everything we need to stockpile on the back porch so everybody knows where everything is. Or this is the inn. Let's pre-cleanse the eggs. We'll put them by the altars where they go so that we can then go and just try to hit them. So like we used our brains on these. And I felt like there was very little chance of us actually winning this. And we didn't. I mean, we played the inn level, 8 times and never actually beat it. And that's with sound strategy, good gamers with 4 people, and we still couldn't beat it. I feel like it's just a little bit too tough. And I don't say that very often.
I disagree. I think it was just right. I think the fact that we were able to really beat all the other maps pretty easily and this one still gave us this really hard challenge kept us trying to play it. Like, we kept throwing ourselves at that one. And I think that's kind of the point of that specific map being more difficult, is that it's almost like it levels up. Like, it's like Mario. Mario World 1.1 is a cinch. Mario World 8.4 is terrible. And I think that's kind of what it was. That being said, like, it would have been nice to beat it once and come back to it. So maybe like 20% easier. But overall, I kind of think the fact that we got so close each time, I think if we had just altered the strategy just a little bit, we'd have found something that really worked a little bit better. But I did love the way that we were all like I had an idea one time. Josh had a great idea. Paul had a great idea. We're like, hey, what if we try this? Okay, let's try that. Oh, that worked a little bit better. Let's combine those two strategies. That was great too. But overall, I think the difficulty was about what it needed to be because we were able to easily go through a couple levels, and a couple levels gave us big challenges.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty spot on. When you win, it definitely feels like an achievement. And since there's only 4 levels, I kind of felt maybe they thought if you beat the 4 levels once, maybe you would quit. And so to get you to keep coming back, they had to have a couple harder levels. But this is definitely not a walk in the park. It's definitely a difficult game for sure. All right. Well, let's go ahead and move on to community reviews. Josh, you've got a couple to read here for us that other gamers have left devour.
I do indeed. We always go to reviews that people have left on a game so that you can hear other opinions besides just ours and kind of get an idea of what other people think about these games. And we always pull these from Steam when available. And I always find 2 recommended and 2 not recommended. So this first one is recommended. They have 17 hours on record. And it says, really good game. Like, for the price point, you cannot find another game quite as fun as this one. It's horror, it's co-op, and it's scary. Multiple maps to choose and play. The stories and soundtracks to each map are slapping. When you get caught, you will know it because it doesn't matter how good of a gaming chair you have, you'll be halfway out of it from jumping in fear. I will say off the rip that sometimes you will wait for players to join for upwards of 10 minutes if you're doing a public lobby. However, there are pages of lobbies to join if you don't want to create one yourself. But overall, no complaints. They constantly keep up with updating it and maintenance. Do yourself a favor and grab it before they jump the price up. It's totally worth it. Hours of fun with friends or randoms. I give it a 10 out of 10.
And the price is something that should be mentioned. This is a $5 game. So yeah, it's very cheap.
Yeah. It's funny because the Halloween sale is going on right now. So it's actually $3.99 of the day that we're recording this. And I would imagine probably on Halloween when people are listening to it, it's probably still on sale. So yeah. All right. This next one, not recommended, 4.6 hours on record. And it says, at first, the game is pretty decent, but after a short time, you start to see its flaws. Bosses seem to know exactly where you are, and hiding does nothing to stop them from finding you. If you want to spend the majority of your time downed or reviving someone that is downed, this game is for you. The most challenging part of this game for me was how long my patience could last. The jump scares were initially good, but after a couple matches, they became predictable. The reward system isn't very rewarding either. If you want to try it, I'd say buy it, but when it's really cheap, like a dollar, that way if you surpass 2 hours, you won't feel cheated.
When $5 is too much for now, a game.
I will say, the one thing with this review is they mentioned the reviving, and at, later on in a level, part of the challenge is just keeping people alive, because the boss is going to catch people and kill people. And you kind of need the numbers to just to stand a chance at that point.
It was way better when we played with four than three on the survivability, because it's one more person. And in fact, we actually use that as a strategy. Like one time, I forget which one of you guys, it might have been Paul, was burning the demon goat. And I'm like, I'm going to stand here in between you and the altar and like the rest of the map. So if they come, it's going to get me and you can complete the task. Like that was a strategy, was if the boss is rampaging because you've completed seven or eight tasks, and we know it's not going to stop rampaging, it's going to find someone and kill them. You almost have to use that as a strategy to make someone expendable.
Yeah. All right. And then this this next one is recommended. 9 hours on record, and it says, in all honesty, it's a fun game to play with friends. Some real scares. However, the demon chasing you, even in the easiest mode, is 5 times faster than you when you sacrifice enough items. The demon minions are overwhelming, and you end up running out of battery charge, causing you to die. The demon, as well, is not really clever. If you stand on a balcony in the town, you'll see him running from point A to point B over and over again. First few runs are fun, of course, and therefore worth the money. And a few plays later, it gets repetitive, and you'll find yourself leading the game.
Stop whining, the game's hard.
I mean, it was a recommended review. I think they were just trying to point out some of the flaws there. All right, and then this last one is not recommended, 7.7 hours on record, and it says, you can get around in the game for the first 3 or so rounds, but then the main bad will chase you at light speed, can break through hiding spots if there are any, and can't be stopped or delayed until they catch you. Fun game if they fixed any of these things, but they haven't.
Yeah, I don't
know.
Stop whining,
the game's hard. Sorry.
I don't think that's what the reviews come down to, but I don't know that it's anything that needs to be fixed. It is just a nature of the game. I don't know. It's a $5 game. It's very cheap. You got to kind of grade it on a curve. You're not paying AAA prices. You're not going to get 100 maps that are all perfectly balanced. You know, this game is what it is. It if you've listened to this episode, you have a perfect picture of how this game operates. It's going to be for some people and they're going to absolutely love it. And other people are just going to hate it. They're going to think it's repetitive. I think all the reviews you read there, Josh, I think all of them are like really fair in their own right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Well, guys, that is a little bit of what the community thinks. And now it's time for us to play a little game that we play where we try to guess the overall Steam rating on this game. And then the winner gets a very special prize, which is introducing the next segment. So on the Steam scale of 0 to 100, where do you guys think this falls?
I'm going to give it a 74.
Okay, 74.
I feel like that's a very conservative score because I think there's a lot of people that are not going to like the repetitiveness. We got there, guys. Thank you. Look, I saw both of you just patiently waiting on this video for me to get through that word. Don't ask me to say it again. It's repetitive. I think a lot of people would be concerned about that and frustrated by it. And I think a lot of people are going to be like me and just be like, it's a $5 game and you had fun. So upvote it.
I think it's going to be higher than the 70s. I'm going to say 82%.
82 for Paul. I went 84%, actually. It's funny because my initial thought was legitimately 74%. And then I went, nah, I think it's a little bit better than that. And so it's funny because I just upped my thing 10%. The actual user rating on Steam of overall rating, which means all reviews, is 92%.
Holy cow.
Wow. Yeah,
rated as a very positive on Steam with 92% overall. I think, is it 94 or 93 where it gets into overwhelmingly positive?
It might be 94 or 95. Yeah. I think the reason why this game is going to be in the 90s is that if you watch 8 seconds of footage, you're going to know whether or not you want to buy it.
I think
if you're going to hate this game, you're never going to buy it to begin with. This game, there's no depth to this game. It is exactly what you see in a short YouTube clip. And everyone who bought this game probably knew they were going to love it, or they were forced to buy it because they had a legendary supporter. And anyone else who wouldn't like this game just never bought it to begin with.
Yep. All right, that means I get to introduce the next segment, Paul.
Let's get it, Josh.
Let's get everybody in the mood here. Hit that music. Hey, Anna, you want to go out for some gyros and have some fried goat? Isn't that what gyro is? Goat?
Yeah,
that's lamb. It's lamb. Sure. It's lamb, isn't it? Well, close enough. Goat, lamb.
It's like
whatever.
Hot dog, sure. Whatever else they put it in.
You can have some goat stew.
Yeah,
there you go.
Exactly. It's delicious. So, and Anna, me and Anna are going. So, without you two, since I'm the winner, guys.
All right.
You can have her. Yeah.
So, in this part of the show, this is where we actually give our ratings for the game. It's something we call Make Love, Marry, or Murder. If we think a game is just one of the best and should be played by everybody, we will likely marry it. If we think a game is fun, worth your time, but hey, maybe it's not going to really be something you play long term, we might marry it. If we think it's a, hey, stay away, this isn't worth the money or your time, that would likely be a murder at that point. Since I won, I guess I'll just go first. This is a make love for me, man.
Yeah,
I actually enjoy playing it. Now, I don't know if it's listening to Paul scream or realizing that Paul has no sense of direction whatsoever. I don't know if it's listening to Michael jump out of his chair, you know, or say a cuss word that I've never heard him say before, you know, or something like that. I did have fun. Am I going to play this game again? Probably not. But for $5, I feel like I absolutely had $5 worth of fun out of this game. I think, Paul, you hit the nail on the head. If you watch some footage and you go, yep, I think I'll like that, I think you'll like it. If you watch some footage and you go, no way, it's probably not worth the $5 to you. But if you like that stuff, I think it is well worth it at that point. So for me, it's a make love, man. I had a good time.
I had a very hard time with this one. And I'll just volunteer to go next, I guess. I had a really hard... This was harder than I thought because it's a $5 game. And everything that Josh just said, add that to my statement right now. It was fun. I had a blast playing this game with you guys. And so, like, it was actually for a little bit kind of in merry contention because for $5, we got 6 or 7 hours of really fun time together, which to me is like everybody can have that. I mean, it's frustrating, but it's fun. That's the point of a game. But then I started thinking about the pitfalls of this game, and it brought it down a little bit, being that every level really is kind of the same formula. It's go get the keys, go get the intermediate object, whether it be the hay to lure the goats, the old dish to lure the rats, and then go do whatever the objective is, which is like burn the goat, burn the egg, you know, explode the rat, which was hilarious and fun. It's all the same formula, and so it does kind of get repetitive. And so I kind of compared it to an escape room. Like in real life, if any of you guys have ever been to an escape room, no two escape rooms are ever the same. They have like, it's one room you're in, but the puzzles are wildly different. I feel like the devs in this game could have maybe altered the formula just a little bit more in each of the levels to make it so that we're not doing the same thing. Like I think that once we figure out our strategy, we basically use the same exact strategy ultimately in every single level. And so there wasn't that variance there. So for that, it's a make love. The caveat statement there being is it's a higher than usual make love because the price of the game is great for what you're getting.
Wow. A high make love for Michael. I did not expect that. For me, this is absolutely a murder. I hate this game.
Whoa!
I am so sorry, Dr. Cat.
I'm not surprised.
I hate games like this. This game I found to be frustrating on a lot of counts. First of all, finding the keys in stage one is 10 minutes of just running around, splitting up, trying to find all the keys. It's a waste of the first 10 minutes of every match where you're just finding keys and stalking all of your hay on the back porch or wherever you're putting your stuff. The first 10 minutes is like organization. I did not find that part to be fun. And then the last couple rounds where you've already gotten, you know, 7 or 8 of the totems, I found that to be frustrating because you're just chain resing people the whole time. There's a short bit in the middle that I found a little more enjoyable where the boss is difficult, but not impossible to evade. And I feel like in these 40 to 60 minute matches, I was enjoying maybe 6 minutes out of it. The rest I just found to be too boring or just not fun. But like I said, this is certainly not a game I would have ever bought. If I had looked this up on YouTube before picking Devour, there's not a chance I would have ever bought this apart from the podcast. This one's a very easy murder. I will never play it again. It's already deleted from my computer. I'm done with it.
It is funny because I think we were playing with Dr. Catatonic, and at one point he even said, Paul, I'm sorry, I know you probably hate this game because it's really dark.
Yeah.
And so it was like, I kind of figured that was going to be your take on it, which is fair. I mean, it's a fair take at the same time.
I was surprised. I thought that at least just having a blast with two or three of his pals would have put it into make love territory. But I was wrong. Paul doesn't actually like us, and he likes us a little bit more than he likes this video game.
I would have way rather played something fun with you guys. Every single time that we were done playing, I was like, I'm so glad we're done. There was even one night when you two were both... Where I kind of pinged you guys, and I was like, are we playing Devour one last time? And you were both kind of waffling. And even I was like, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I was like, I think we should do one more night for the podcast. And the whole time, I hated every second of it. I was like, I want to get out of this game. I want to play anything else, but we got to do it for the pod. All right, well, we've got one last segment, guys. Let's go to the leaderboard and see where this game stacks up. Okay, if you are new to the show, we have an overall leaderboard, which you can see on our website at multiplayerpodcast.com. It's right there on our homepage. Just got to scroll down a little bit. And we take every game that we have ever done a deep dive episode, and as a three-man consensus, we have to agree where this game ranks against all the other deep dives. So a lot of times when people say, do you have any games you would recommend? We generally say, go check out our leaderboard. Anything in the top 10 to 15 are games that we think are like masterpieces that are really good, we really highly recommend. And we've also got a couple games all the way down in the 70s or 80s. We've got some stuff down here like Left 4 Dead 2, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds, Overcooked 2, Battlefield 2042, down all the way at the bottom. So looking at our leaderboard here, since we've got a high make love, a regular make love, and a murder, I guess we're looking at something maybe halfway to two thirds down the list.
I got a spot in mind, actually.
Why don't you give your spot?
No, your hand, Michael. I want to hear your thoughts on this first.
So here's what I'm walking through on this, is I'm looking at the midsection, like the guts of our list, like from 20 to like 53. Just because that's what's fitting on my monitor right now, and that's where I'm looking. And I'm looking at games kind of like this, like where, hey, you play it with a couple of your friends, you play it for 6 to 7 hours, and several pop out real fast. For instance, at 32, you have Deep Rock Galactic, also wildly repetitive, probably needs to come down on the leaderboard a little bit, to be honest with you. I look at Broforce, very similar. You play a lot of things. I'd rather play Broforce than this game, to be honest with you. Among Us, very similar. You play it for several hours with a few of your friends. It's not fun by yourself. I would rather play Among Us. And then I go way down to 46 and keep talking and nobody explodes. And I'm like, man, maybe I was wrong with the high make love because I'd rather play Keep Talking and Nobody Explodes when you're looking at these similar type games. So I'd put it somewhere right behind 46, to be honest, which is, I guess, mid make love territory. But I think that's kind of where I'm starting.
I think you can make love to a game and it's still not ranked super high on the leaderboard. Like,
high make love.
Yeah. I mean, But that takes price and stuff into consideration too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the leaderboard, we're just saying which game would you rather play? You know, like in that regard, I'm actually lower than you, Michael. For me, what's funny, even though I like this game, I have to compare it to Phasmophobia as another very similar type cooperative horror game. And I actually find Phasmophobia to be scarier. Like, Phasmophobia freaks me out, man, because you don't know what's happening. Like, in this game, you know what's happening. You know the boss is after you. You know you're about to get jump scared. And while it definitely makes me scream, I find like Phasmophobia is more actually like scary to me. And so if I compare the two, I go, I'd rather play Phasmophobia than Devour, but Devour's kind of the same. So I'd actually put it at like 63.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like you have to compare it to Phasmophobia, which we have at 62. I agree that I'd rather play Phasmophobia. I think it's more interesting. I think the creepiness of Phasmophobia is more entertaining to play than the jump scares of Devour. I know I'm the lowest on the bunch, but when I look at this list, I would absolutely have it in the 70s, maybe even as low as 80, if it were me. I would have this probably in our bottom five.
I can't put this behind Sea of Thieves and feel good about myself. Yeah. That being said, when I said put it behind 46, I didn't mean it needs to be at 46 or 47. I mean it somewhere can't be below. Above that. It's got to be below that. So I am fine with 60s, low 50s. I look at like The Quarry. Would I rather play this or The Quarry? I'd rather have fun with Paul, who hates a game, but he's playing it with me, than to play The Quarry again.
I would too.
And The Quarry, I think, is the closest I've ever come to a murder. Or did I murder that game?
You did.
No, I've
murder
never murdered
it.
A game.
It's your one murder.
That was my one murder. And so I'm like, you know, I'd like to put it above The Quarry. But I mean, I think that 63 is actually kind of a good spot, because you guys said Phantasmophobia is better. But we all think two words.
No T.
Right. Whatever.
I'd be fine with that. I'm fine putting it at 63. So it'll be behind Cuphead, It Takes Two, and Phasmophobia. And we'll have it ahead of The Quarry, Monster Hunter World, and Payday 2. Are you cool with that, Josh?
I feel like that's a really good spot for it, to be honest.
Yeah, I like it.
All right. Well, that works for me. We can clock that in there. And you can definitely see a little bit of my influence here in the leaderboard, as much as I hate horror games, because in the bottom, we've got GTFO, Phasmophobia, we've got The Forest.
The Quarry is a horror game.
The Quarry. Yeah, these are all like horror games, and they're all at the bottom.
Yeah.
I don't like these kinds of games.
If anybody's ever played Phantasmophobia, let me know how it is.
Hey, you know what they need to do? They need to combine Devour and the action sequence, like the actual like part of that, and Phasmophobia, because the one feeling of Phasmophobia was always like, I want to get rid of the ghost. Like, I don't want to just figure out what the ghost is. I want to figure out what it is, and then I want to hunt that ghost.
And you're too slow.
Right.
You're too slow in Phasmophobia. Devour lets you sprint. And even though you're not like running super fast, it doesn't feel like you're running around with bricks glued to your shoes like in Phasmophobia.
Yeah, somebody needs to combine the two, and then, man, that'd be a really good overall horror game.
And here's some hashtag truth for you as well. We already came up with a name for that combined game, and it's Phantasmophobia. I was seeing the future. I'm a soothsayer, gentlemen. I am a soothsayer. The Ides of March are coming.
I'm still going to murder it.
Yeah.
It's got no chance.
It's still a horror game. Paul's out.
Yeah. All right. Well, that wraps up this deep dive of Devour. We will be back on Thursday for an episode of This Week in Gaming. And then for our next deep dive, we are going to be releasing that 2 weeks from today on November 14th. That will actually be Gotham Knights, which we have all just started playing. And as a reminder to everyone out there, please come support us on Patreon at multiplayersquad.com and come toss us a follow on social media at Instagram and Twitter at multiplayerpod. And we just want to say thank you to everyone for listening and helping support the show. We'll see you all on Thursday. Happy gaming.
Cheers all.
All right. See you, everybody.